It's Friday, the 25th of March, 2016. Happy birthday to James Anderson, Darrell Arthur, Marco Bellinelli, TJ McConnell, and Kyle Lowry. Fantasy Basketball Monster Show brought to you by Moneyball.com.au and Minister of Slam. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like the Minister of Slam, which is potentially the greatest name I've heard in the iTunes reviews, and sponsor a podcast, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can sponsor the show. It is very, very straightforward. Thank you to the Minister of Slam for his inspiring review. And of course, to Moneyball, who has sponsored the podcast all season. If you live in Australia or New Zealand, Moneyball is running DFS contests every day of the week of the NBA season and for all other sports. And they are your best DFS option for the guys living down under. So get yourself over to Moneyball, sign up and win some cash. If you are listening to this podcast, if you're watching this podcast live on YouTube, which you can always do, and want to interact with the show, tweet at me at redrock_beeble. You can see the Twitter handle underneath my face on the screen at the moment. Tweet at me, interact with the show as it's going live. If you're watching it any other time, you can always tweet at me anything regarding the show and via that same Twitter handle, of course. And if you are tweeting live while watching the show, use the hashtag RRFB, Red Rock Fantasy Basketball. It's pretty straightforward. Do that, and we'll interact as the show is going on. Ooh, interesting day in the NBA. We've got a massive day coming up for Friday. So let me introduce to you Monsieur Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Thank you, Michael. The Instagram contest for Thursday, we were looking at Bojan Bogdanovic. How many combined points, rebounds, and assists would Bojan get? The total was 13, and nobody got that right. I feel like no one on Instagram has got it right for quite a while. On Facebook, we were looking at Rod Hood, combined points, rebounds, and assists. The total there for Rod was 14, and Ryan O'Neill got it bang on. So congratulations to Ryan. If you want to participate in these contests, Friday's one on Instagram is going to be Reggie Jackson of the Detroit Pistons. We're looking at combined points, assists, and steals for Reg. And on Facebook, we're looking at Devin Booker, points, assists, and steals for the Bookster. So make sure you are leaving your answer on each of those respective posts, and hopefully you can get it right and get yourself a shout out on the show. You would have heard at the start of the show, I assume, the numerous birthday shout outs that we are delivered. There's 5 NBA birthdays today, which I think is possibly the most we've had all season. And I bring that up because the monstrous line of the night for Thursday's games, it was actually his birthday. So is the birthday bump real? I did a bit of research on this actually in the off-season, and it's not. But when narratives like this happen, you make me think, oh, it's his birthday. He had a big game. His parents were in town. I think it ended up being marginally improved performance on a night when it was someone's birthday. That person I'm talking about is Miles Turner of the Indiana Pacers. Obviously, he will also be the young gun of the night, given that it's his first year in the league. And he was, has he been mediocre? Maybe he's been a little bit mediocre lately, but he was starting to put it back together and he exploded. He put it all back together. He had 24 and 16 in 33 minutes. He had an assist. He had 3 blocks. He went 11 of 17 from the field and hit both his free throws. He is going to be a fantasy monster over the next maybe 7 to 10 seasons. Everything about his game looks fantasy friendly. He scores. He rebounds. He blocks a shitload of shots. He can hit threes. He's going to give you good field goal percentage. He's going to give you good free throw percentage. That sort of combination is not easy to find. We saw some of the upside on display here, 24 and 16. Now, it's against a team that literally most of your local teams would have come close to beating, the Pelicans. But still, it's a big performance. He was clearly the best player for the Pacers. Put up, that's a huge, huge line. And he probably needs to be owned in every league. He's only owned in 52% of leagues at the moment. So he was almost the waiver wire line of the night as well. But into the playoffs, I've gone with a 50% cutoff for ownership there for the waiver wire line of the night. Turner, love him. I think there's going to be tremendous, tremendous numbers coming from him over the course of his career. He's a top 55 player over the last 2 weeks. But over the last month, it's just 117th. So, I mean, he slid and he's bounced back. And it's only in 25 minutes over the last 2 weeks he's putting up these numbers. 13.3 points, 8 rebounds, 1.6 blocks, a steal, 53 and 91. And at the start of the year, his free throw percentage was well down. And he was a guy that we projected coming in as being a really good free throw shooter because he was at Texas. But he was like 55, 56% to start the year. And what's going on with his free throws? But he's kicked it up. He's at 89% over the last month. He is going to be a guy who's a 55, 80 sort of player. That's where maybe not 55 from the field because he will take threes. But he's going to project as a really good percentage guy, big rebound scoring and blocks. That's a five-category bonus that he's going to give you, and really interested to see where it goes. So Miles Turner, your young gun of the night, and of course, your monstrous line of the night. With Turner just failing to qualify for the waiver wire line of the night, that award goes to Jose Calderon of the New York Knicks. 33 minutes for Calderon, inexplicably playing these minutes, but we know that it's going to happen. So we have to take action as fantasy owners. 12, 7, and 7 for Calderon, a steal, three triples. He should never be playing these minutes. There's no doubt in my mind he shouldn't be playing 31 minutes a game over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 5 assists though, 1.3 threes, a steal a game. That's a steal off the waiver wire. Now his overall numbers aren't exciting, 7 points, what's that? That's nothing. But 5 assists, 3.5 rebounds, 0.9 steals. That's what this time of year is all about, maximizing the categories you need to maximize. So Jose Calderon is going to fit on plenty of your teams. You can definitely look at adding him, and if that's what you need and if it fits in with your team and the schedule, he is not someone to completely ignore. And a lot of people will ignore him, hopefully not the ones that listen to this program, but a lot of people will ignore him because they're like, oh, Calderon, shit. And yeah, you know what? He shouldn't be playing these minutes. But we know that Kurt Rambis is just... what's the right word? Lost? Yeah, we know that he's lost. We know that he's continually doing the wrong things. So while he continues to play 30-plus minutes to guys who are 37 years old, you have to go with it. And that's exactly what we're going to do with Calderon for the moment. And when we need those stats, we look his way. Now, the problem is that the Knicks, they played just one more game this week, and it is against Cleveland on Saturday, so it's probably not the best time to add Jose. You want, if you've got an empty roster spot, you want to add it for someone who plays Friday. And especially you want to add it for someone who plays Sunday, because Friday and Saturday are relatively busy days. So Calderon's not going to be ideal in that sort of scenario. But just remember, you need assists. And on Saturday, he might not fit into your best 10 players. But if he's your 11th best player and your 10th best guy, your 9th best guy is a rebound block specialist, and you've got that category locked up, you sit that player. And you add Calderon in, and you get 5 assists, and you get a steal. And it helps to turn that category your direction. That's the way you need to look at playoffs. And I had a pretty sizable rant on yesterday's extraordinarily long program about that sort of stuff and about tailoring your team and making your adds and drops and maneuvers based entirely on what you're doing this week and what your opponent's doing and what the matchup looks like. That's the way you have to approach it. The dud of the night, Rudy Gobert, played 16 minutes. He had 4 points, 6 rebounds, and 1 block. Hey, at least he got a block. And I've had a lot of questions coming in. Can I drop Rudy Gobert to stream? The answer is yes. Gobert has been, I think it's fair to say, a massive, massive disappointment. He is currently ranked for the season 63rd. Last year, he ranked 62nd in 6 less minutes per game. He's ranked outside the top 150 over the last month. He is doing not a lot. And that's not, he's not doing nothing, but 11 rebounds is good. Yeah, that's a positive. 1.4 blocks over the last month is good. But subpar field goals, hurting your free throws a lot, giving you nothing else. No scoring, no assists, no steals, no threes. 2.1 turnovers, which is actually not a great number for a big man. Yes, he can be streamed. And it might seem stupid for the guy that you took in the second round, but that means absolutely nothing at the moment. He's not a second round guy at the moment. He hasn't been a second round guy for a massive chunk of this season. And if you need to move on from him to get three more games over this week, then you do it. Because honestly, what's he providing for you? What sort of bonus is Gobert playing? He's got one more game this week against the Timberwolves when you could move him out and potentially get someone to play Friday and someone to play Sunday and maybe an extra person on Saturday if you have got enough additions left during the week. He is someone to look at, definitely. You can move on. As dumb as it might sound, he is not a must-own player, and he is going to be a very, very interesting guy when we head into next season and look at draft rankings and all that sort of stuff. Really interested to see where he goes. Him and Anthony Davis are going to be the two of the main Where are these guys? Oh, Eric Bledsoe is another one who's going to be very interesting to me as to see where they end up in the rankings and the ADP and all that sort of stuff. Let's look at the perfect DFS lineup for Thursday's games. Derek Rose at 39.9. Things were looking up for Rose in a game against the Knicks. And I started to say, yeah, look, you know what? Some of the numbers are turning his way. That's a pretty good line from him. Chrissy Paul, I thought he'd have a bounce back game. He comes in as a player in the perfect DFS lineup, but that's not a great performance, but he still was the best value for money there at that salary, 39.5. Shooting guards, Deion Waiters, 28.9. That's two in a row for Waiters. And Jamal Crawford, 30.2. At small forward, LeBron at 42.7. Kevin Durant at 44.1. And at power forward, Miles Turner, 47.7. And
percentages
at 36. And the center, Alexi Ajinsa at 32.8. Going to talk about that in a little bit more detail, but very, very happy to see Ajinsa. And as you can see, the DFS scoring for these games, Thursday's games, was pretty low. A total of 341.8 was the highest you could possibly have gotten on FanDuel, which obviously is not a huge amount. Whew. Let's take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to talk, to get into these games from Thursday and break them down in a little bit more detail. All right, guys, we're back in business now. The first game was the Pelicans and the Pacers. Before I get into that, I did have a couple of people just tweet in at me. Let's see if there are people who are watching along live. Where are we? Steve Eman. I need to lose turnovers. Can you think of player or players that will get decent minutes and get turnovers? Why do you need to lose turnovers? Steve, if you're watching along, what do you mean you need to lose turnovers? Decent players that will get turnovers off the waiver wire. Let me know what you mean. Clarify that, and maybe I'll get back to you on it. That's a weird question. I don't know why you want to lose turnovers. Ooh, anyway, let's get back to it. The Pelicans and the Pacers. The Pelicans had 8 players. No Norris Cole, no Ryan Anderson. Drew Holiday was out with a toe issue. So initially we're going, you know what? This means it's Luke Babbitt's going to be a great option. But the Pelicans decided in all their glory that with an extra player out of the lineup, let's move the guy who'd been starting to the bench. That shit never makes sense to me, but that's what Gentry did. And Babbitt not only went to the bench, but he played like 10, 11 minutes less than what he'd been playing in the games previous. You can't predict that sort of shit. You can't predict that sort of bad coaching. The Pelicans got smashed, and understandably so, but that sort of thing is very confusing. The Pelicans went with a starting lineup of Tony Douglas, Alonzo G, Dante Cunningham, Alexi Ajinsa, and Omer Asik. Very confusing to me. Surely the lineup should have been Tim Frazier, Tony Douglas, Luke Babbitt. To me, it's Cunningham at the 4 and Ajinsa at the 5. That's the best lineup, but what do I know? I'm sitting here talking to you guys, and Elvin Gentry's collecting millions of dollars as an NBA coach. He's losing, but he's collecting millions of dollars. Let's get into this game in more details. There's a couple of things that happened today that made me go, finally. And made me think, you know what, I'm not crazy. It's 4 or 5 months too late. But you know what? I was right. Alexi Ajinsa should have been playing minutes for this team all season. He should have started next to Anthony Davis for massive chunks of the year. He should have been playing for so much of this season. Not rejects like Perkins and Asik. Ajinsa got the start and played 36 minutes and went 22-9 with 2 assists and a steal. Whether this is a continual thing, I don't know. But you have to, at this point of the season, look at it and go, maybe it is. And Ajinsa can be a very, very useful player. Now, the Pelicans play one more game this week, and it's on Saturday. So the value in Ajinsa this week is not ideal. You're not getting 2 games out of him where you can get 2 games out of a few other players who are around. But you definitely need to keep him in mind. I've been spouting about Ajinsa all season. All he needs is minutes. And Gentry has hated him all year and just refuses to play him. When literal guys who cannot do a thing, Cunningham, G, Perkins, Babbitt, Asik, these guys are all terrible. And they play, and Norris Cole doesn't play the same position, but these guys are all terrible. And they should never have been getting minutes ahead of Ajinsa. Finally, he is unleashed, and he looks to be a very interesting guy down the stretch here. I don't know if we see Ryan Anderson again. I don't know if we see Norris Cole again. Ajinsa should be the guy who is starting for the rest of this year. it might not work out that way, but you have to consider that that will be the case. The other players on this team, lots of value here. Tim Frazier, 18, 5 and 5 in 29 minutes. He's a guy that you want to own, again, at this point, but with the only playing on Saturday, maybe it's best to stream in and out, guys. Tone Douglas, 13, 5 and 3 with 3 steals. Another guy who's worth looking at. Alonzo G had 17 points. Not so interested there. He had a triple, 3 rebounds and an assist in 41 minutes, but this is not who Alonzo G is. Don't get overly excited. 9 points for Cunningham. He had a triple. He had 2 steals, 2 rebounds and an assist. Yeah, whatever. And Omar Asik had 2 points and 15 rebounds and no other stats. He is literally a rebound stream. That is it. He will hurt your free throws. He won't score. He doesn't block shots. He was only 1 of 4 from the field here. He is a rebound stream. And Luki Babbitt off the bench, 2 points and 3 rebounds. Now, Babbitt is just as likely to start the next game and play 35 minutes, and we can't predict that sort of thing. So he's an okay stream if we hear that they're going to start him. But with most of these guys, Frazier, Adinsa, Douglas, who are all, if they're playing, guys that should be owned, they're not must hold onto guys when you're down to 3 days left in your playoff matchup. They're good, but they're not that good. Hope that makes sense. On to the Pacers. Paul George lasted 20 minutes. Everybody shit their pants because he went off with a leg injury to the same leg that he broke. I've been waiting for something to happen with his leg all season, and as terrible as that sounds, I'm not going, come on, George, hurt yourself. I'm not doing that. I've just been thinking something is going to be amiss with this because you don't come back from broken legs like he has. And he has had pretty big drop-off in production after that first month, with his shooting really struggling, and he's admitted to leg fatigue and leg pain and soreness, and that's always going to be the case. Thankfully, this injury is not severe. It is just a lower leg contusion, so just a bump, just a bruise on his leg. It might mean that he misses a time, because I'm sure that he already has pain in that leg, and he won't want to be playing with too much pain on there, because you don't want to change your gait too much and cause other issues with other injuries and increase risk of feeling uncomfortable and a loss in confidence in it. So he might miss a game, but it's not a serious injury, so that's good. And he was looking all right at triple one with 15 points in his 20 minutes, including 6 of 9 shooting, which is a bonus if you get that from Paul George. CJ Miles stepped up and took the place of George. He played 26 minutes and had 19 points with 3 triples. If you watched the broadcast today, the announcers were talking CJ Miles very early on and saying that how he was the leading scorer for this team. The second leading scorer over the first month or 6 weeks of the season, which just feels amazing given where he is at the moment. The Pacers, talking about schedules, the Pacers have got a pretty interesting schedule for the rest of this week. They actually have a back-to-back on Saturday and Sunday against the Nets and the Rockets. If George misses one of those, then CJ Miles is going to have some serious value over those games. If he plays 28 minutes, you might get 6 or 7 threes between those two games. That might be a stretch, but that's maximum ability for him, and he can do that if George happens to miss. So he's a name to watch. Monte Ellis, 9, 4, and 4, 3 steals and a block. Really not a good night from him. And George Hill, 6, 4, and 8. It was not a good game in general. Jan Mahinmi, 3 and 3 in 30 minutes. That was a stinker from him. 2 steals, sort of helps, but really nothing too exciting. And Ty Lawson played 15 minutes for 4 points with 2 assists and 3 steals. And that's really about where he is going to be for the rest of the year, you'd say. All in all, it was a win, but not an exciting night from the Pacers outside of Miles Turner. The Bulls, they are rancid. They lost to the Knicks. Derrick Rose was really good, though. 30 points on 13 of 23 shooting. And it's safe to say that he is, I don't want to use the term back because he's not back, but he's back. Can you understand the difference between what I mean by back and back? He's not back 2011 Derrick Rose, but he's pretty bloody good. And he cops a lot of shit, but I have no issue with Derrick Rose sitting a game for an adductor strain or sitting a game for a soreness. Because you know what led to his injuries? Playing through soreness and playing with a terrible Bulls medical staff who is unable to see injuries or unable to see the cumulative effect of injuries leading to more serious things. And that ruined his career. And I don't have any problem with him being salty about it or him doing what's best for him in that sort of... And in the end, it's what's best for the team as well. Because if he misses one game in February because he feels a bit sore and then is able to come back and play like this, then who cares? I'm all for it. He hasn't missed many games this season, and he's looking a lot better than what he did to start the season. And if he had done this throughout 2011, we'll never know, but maybe he doesn't tear his ACL. Instead of playing through injuries the whole season and a cumulative effect of all these things, maybe he doesn't tear his ACL. Anyway, Rose looks good. 30 points, two rebounds, three assists, two steals. Super efficient. Jim Butler just is not the same guy. And I have massive, massive, massive concerns about Butler. 39 minutes for him. This is a concern to me that we are going to see in April. Butler goes down, torn ACL. Now, I'm going to knock on wood again. You've heard me do it before. But I am concerned. He came back from a knee injury, which looked terrible, and the Bulls, they're misdiagnosed or they talk shit. Nah, it's a bruise. He'll be back in a day. Yeah, you're right. He's good. He wasn't. He missed weeks and weeks. Came back and then was out again with soreness. Doesn't look right. Doesn't look the same guy. Doesn't look energetic. He's saying there's nothing wrong with it, but he's saying, you know, I'm in pain. I've got to play through it. What do you say? You got to risk it to get the biscuit? No, you don't, Jimmy. You know, what are you risking it for to get the eighth seed and get smashed? He is going to hurt himself. And I'm really concerned. And someone, Derek Rose, as much as these two apparently aren't mates, Rose needs to go to him, mate, if you're sore, can you not play? Because your career is in serious jeopardy if you do an ACL. And he's not the most durable guy, as it is. Really concerned. He doesn't need to be playing 39 minutes. Doesn't need it. 19-3-3 for Butler with three steals and a block. Taj Gibson only 26 minutes, 10-6, which is fine. Mike Dunleavy, 9 points, all from 3 with 4 rebounds and 2 assists. He's really not going to be a standard league guy despite Pau Gasol's absence. Now, Nikola Mirotic was coming off a 35-point game with 9 triples. So, of course, he plays 24 minutes. 8-6-3. Yes, he was only 2 of 9 from the field, but who else are you playing? Why are we playing Cristiano Felizio 3 minutes less than Mirotic? It doesn't make sense. I know they were getting smashed and Mirotic wasn't playing the best, but he's clearly the best option. He's better than Taj Gibson. He's better than Bobby Portis. He's better than Cristiano Felizio. Hoiberg mismanages him. 1 point for Dougie McDermott. He's got no place in a standard league, and Bob Portis went scoreless in his 17 minutes, while Justin Holiday had 5-5. That's just a terrible game from the Bulls. They're terrible. The Knicks, 35 minutes for Mallow, of course it was. 26-7-4, 3 triples and a steal, a big night from him. And my boy, 19-10, 2 triples in 35 minutes, 3 blocks. Kurt Rambis, has he woken up? Maybe he bumped his head on something. Well, let's play our good players more minutes instead of playing washed up hacks minutes. Good to see Porzingis back in action here. Sasha Vujicic continues to start over Aaron Aflalo, and despite how bad Vujicic is, I actually don't care because Aflalo is not good. Vujicic had 9 points, including 3 triples with 2 steals in 19 minutes, and Aflalo went 11-3-2. If you're holding on to Aflalo in a 12-team league, I suggest you can do a lot better, and you shouldn't be owning him. I have not owned him in one single league all season. Robin Lopez had 4 points, but he did add 7 rebounds and 3 blocks, and we talked Jose Calderon already. Jerian Grant only got 12 minutes, which continues to be criminal, and Langston Galloway had 6-4 in his 16 minutes. No cock in this one, which is always disappointing. But Kevin Serafin got 10 minutes, and he's a hidden, my boy, Kevin Serafin. I'm a big Kevin Serafin fan, the first NBA player to follow me on Twitter. But I was a fan of him before that. I think that he has been underused this season as well, but you can't use everyone, I guess, especially when you've got Porzingis out there. I would love to see Porzingis at the 5 and O'Quinn at the 4 more often. But Robin Lopez is pretty solid as well. All in all, the Knicks, big win for them. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Brooklyn Nets, this is a horrible loss. Horrible. LeBron, 30 points, 6 rebounds, 5 assists, a steal, and a 3. I thought that the Cavs would smash him and LeBron and Kyrie and Love would all play limited minutes because it was a smashing. But no, they lost. They played big minutes. LeBron went a brilliant 13 of 16 from the field and did everything that he needed to do. But it wasn't enough. Kevin Love, 11-12. Kyrie was 6 of 22 for 13 points, 5 rebounds, and 4 assists. Not the best night from him. Tim Mozgov, 3 in a row at 20 minutes. He had 7 points and 4 rebounds with a steal. But the minutes are definitely creeping up there. It's making it hard to own Tristan Thompson. It's making it hard to stream Tristan Thompson, who went 6-4 in his 26 minutes. Channing Frye is getting 14 minutes. And while that minute split continues to happen in that direction, then Thompson's not a 12-team league guy. He's hard to stream as a 12. Mozgov is not a 12 either, but he is looking more appealing for deeper leagues. J.R. Smith, 8-2-2 with two triples. He is far from a must-own player, and not much else really happening on that Cavs box score. Richard Jefferson had 6 points in his 10 minutes, and yeah, just real ugly. The Nets. Talked earlier in the show about how it's taken months and months for things that I've said to actually be realized and actualized. The Nets made a change to their starting lineup. They put Shane Larkin as the starting point guard over Don Sloan. Shockingly enough, Larkin is better than Sloan. I don't know how many times I've said it. I wish I had direct access to the Nets to just go, can you just start Larkin over Sloan? Sloan is useless. Larkin has potential. And he looked pretty good. 16-3-7. Now, it comes on 7 of 10 shooting. But 7 of 10 shooting doesn't help 7 assists. He had no steals, and that is his biggest strength, Shane Larkin. Is he a must-own player? No, he's not. But I do like his ability to be streamed in games. Now, the problem is they've only got one game left. It is on Saturday. You might be able to get him active, but he's a name to watch, and he's definitely relevant for 12-team leagues now. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson in his second game back. Only 17 minutes, but what a 17 minutes. 10-7. 2 assists and 3 steals. He is an awesome steal stream. He's going to be a big rebounds guy for his position. But to me, again, he's not someone I'm rushing to grab, but he is a really interesting deep league guy, obviously. And if you need steals, great stream option for Saturday. Markel Brown went 9-4. He had 2 blocks and a 3. And true to his word, Wayne Ellington did not play. True to Tony Brown's word, that is. Sergei Karasev started. He had 3 points in 18 minutes. Would have liked for him to get a few more minutes there, but he didn't. And Bojan Bogdanovic, just the 12 points in 26 with 3 threes. He was going to lose some time with Hollis Jefferson coming back, and we're seeing that come to fruition. Brooke Lopez went 22-7-5, and Thad Young went 8-6-2 with 2 steals. On to the Utah Jazz and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Smashing here as well. The Jazz just absolutely hammered, so the minutes are spread all over the place. Gobert, only 16 minutes, as we touched on earlier. Gordy Hayward went 6-2-5 in 23. In fact, there's nothing positive we can really read out of this from the Jazz. So you look at him and go, ooh, no one played any minutes. Yes, no one did play any minutes. What it did show is, again, that Trey Lyles is good. 14 points with a block and 3 rebounds. But it's not going to carry over to the rest of this season. Just a write-off for the Jazz this game. Because of that, the Thunder were able to sit their players as well. Kev Durant, 28-9 with 2 steals, a block, and 2 triples. In just 30 minutes. Fantastic. Ibaka, 10-3-2. 2 triples, 3 steals, and a block. Exactly what his owners needed. Ross Westbrook, 15-7-9 with 3 steals. 27 minutes. Steve Adams, 14-7. Big numbers. Enes Kanter, 16-7 in 22 minutes. Big numbers. Deion Waiters, 17-2-3. 3 steals. Now, what do you do with Waiters? I don't think you can really own him. I don't think that you can be looking, ooh, I've got to add Deion Waiters. But it's 2 strong games in a row for him. The problem is that the Thunder play one more game, and it's against the Spurs this week. So I don't really think that Waiters is going to be the make-or-break guy. Good to see Campaign playing 21 minutes. He had 8 points, while Randy Foy had 4 in his 23 minutes. And the list of NBA players who have yet to play a minute this season has dropped by 1. Josh Huestis played 5 minutes and hit his only shot, a 3. Congratulations, Josh Huestis, for getting into an NBA game and hitting a 3. We will probably not see him again for the rest of the season, but now we've got only two names on that list, Rakeem Christmas and Duye Dukan of the Sacramento Kings, players who have not played a single minute in the NBA despite being on an active roster and not injured. The last game of the night, the Portland Trail Blazers and the Los Angeles Clippers. Ed Davis, again, 12-8, 2 steals and 2 blocks. He is a great stream option. Blocks, rebounds, field goal percentage. I just want him to play 30 minutes somewhere. He deserves it. He is a good player. Mace Plumlee, 11-6 with 2 steals and 2 blocks, was awesome as well. He should be owned. And Mo Harkless. We really need to consider Mo Harkless now. They've finally woken up and realized that he should play over Noah Vonleh. 31 minutes for Harkless, 10-8 with a block. He's a 14-team leaguer at the moment, but he's approaching a 12-team status. CJ McCollum, 17 points, 6 assists and 3 steals in 37 minutes, while Dame Lillard went 18-3-8 with a couple of triples in his 35 minutes. Aminu struggled. Gerald Henderson had 9 points. Alan Crabb had 7 points. The biggest takeaway for me here is the play of Mace Plumlee, Ed Davis, and Mo Harkless, those guys playing the 4 and the 5. Myers Leonard officially ruled out for the rest of the season, which was something you could obviously see coming. I don't know why these teams, oh no, you know what, he's out for the road trip. The guy dislocated his shoulder. He's not coming back in 3 days. He's out for the road trip. He's out for the season. He's not coming back. Hopefully you weren't holding on to Myers Leonard, hoping he was coming back, because that was just not going to happen. On the Clippers, Chris Paul bounced back after a terrible showing against the Warriors. He was 8 of 15 for 25 points, 5 rebounds and 7 assists. Jamal Crawford chimed in 25 off the bench, and JJ Redick had 11 in his 25 minutes. What about my boy? This guy is the ultimate my boy. Cole Aldrich, 15 minutes, 7 points, 5 rebounds, 1 steal, 2 blocks. He just gets blocks at a ridiculous rate. He is the per 36 MVP. I don't know if that's actually true. I need to check the numbers, but he is just putting up ludicrous numbers. Do not disregard Cole Aldrich. You need blocks. You stream Cole Aldrich in when they play, because he will get you 1 or 2 blocks basically every single game. And I need to look this up, because I need to see when the last time he didn't get a block was. This will be an enthralling podcasting or video, whatever you're watching it on, as I look this up. He is owned in very, very few leagues. He has got in his last multiple blocks in his last 5 games. The most minutes he has played in those games is 15. So in his last 5 games, he has had 14 blocks. He has totaled, add this up on the fly, 59 minutes. 14 blocks in his last 59 minutes. He's pretty good. And I know that I'm probably the only person who thinks that Cole Aldrich is good, but he's good. Wes Johnson, 4-4 in 14 minutes. Paul Pierce, 14 minutes for 0 points. DeAndre Jordan, 12-13 with 3 steals. And this small forward rotation is just a joke. 4-4-4 for Jeff Green. Luke Marmute, 2-2. There's no one that's worth owning there. Johnson, Rivers, Green, Pierce, Marmute. No one. Jamal Crawford with 25 points. That's great, but to me, he's not a 12-team league guy either. The Clippers' schedule for the rest of the week, it's not promising. They've got one game on Sunday, so that's when Crawford becomes interesting. If you've got a full roster on Saturday, if you've got a full roster Friday and Saturday, and there's someone sitting on your bench, you can make moves for Sunday. Now, you probably won't have a full roster both those days, but Crawford on a Sunday might be someone. And obviously, you need blocks. Aldridge for that Sunday. Do not forget about Cole Aldridge. This will surely be the game where he doesn't have a block. But 14 blocks in the last 5 games, it's pretty bloody impressive. I'm a big, big Cole Aldridge fan. I wish that he had been given the opportunity to start somewhere, because I know that he can be an NBA player, and that might sound ridiculous. I've got a list of guys that I have unnatural infatuations with their game. He's one of them. Ajinsa is one of them. Obviously, Fournier was one of them. Finally, that's come to fruition, and everyone's 4 years late on realizing he can play in the NBA. And there are also guys that I think are good who turn out to be shit. Austin Day, one of those guys from a few years ago. That does it for the games. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to be back to preview all the action for Friday from a DFS perspective. I saw you. Friday, Good Friday it is. Let's see. Hopefully it's a good Friday for you for DFS purposes. Let's have a look at these games. But before we do, a question came in from a habitual live watcher, Danny Triella. Danny, if you are still watching, where are you? Where do you live? I'd like to know where you are, where you come from, that you're watching the show every day. So it's great support that you do, and you love chiming with questions. He's got a question here, part statement, part question. I'm like WTF, when I watch and see the Pelicans coaching and rotations, what player could best benefit the Pels in free agency? We'll talk about that when we get more into the offseason, but they need a wing. They need someone who can shoot, because Tarik Evans can't shoot, Alonzo G can't shoot, Dante Cunningham can't shoot, Luke Babbitt can shoot, but he's not someone who should be getting big minutes. Eric Gordon can shoot, but he won't be back. Ryan Anderson can shoot, but he won't be back. They need someone who can shoot. Whoever that is, I don't know who they're going to get. I really have to look into the free agency class a little bit more, but they need someone who can actually shoot and can actually defend on the wing as well. And Quincy Pondexter, maybe that's going to be the guy when he comes back from a knee injury, but they're poorly coached and they've copped a lot of injuries, and you can't come back from that. There's really no way to come back. So Daniel, let me know, where are you? Where are you watching this live? Maybe I'll check your Twitter profile. Does that tell me? No, absolutely no detail there at all, Danny. So feel free to tweet in to me and tell me exactly where you are. Not exactly where you are. What country do you come from? What area are you in? Let's get into these games. The first one, Minnesota Timberwolves at Washington Wizards. The Wizards are favored by 8. The total is 218 here. Let's look at the point guards first. Johnny Wall versus Rick Rubio. Wall's been good lately. He's at 9,700, so the salary has dropped. He's doing everything he can to keep the Wizards in playoff contention. 9,700 is expensive, but he's averaging 47 across his last five. He's had a couple of down games over the last couple, or especially the last one where he only went for 31. And Rubio is a good defender, so it's not the best opportunity for him here, but I definitely don't think it's someone I need to completely forget about. The same for Rubio. He's at 7,100. He's got a 37 average across his last five, so it looks appealing. But playing against John Wall, who's a good point guard defender as well, is not a great spot. But players have had big games against Wall this year, especially Steph Curry, but he is on another planet. I think both of these guys are solid, but not necessarily spectacular plays. Shooting guard. I like Brad Beal here. He's hard to use. He's at 5,300 though. He's got a 26 average across his last five. He's been a little bit quiet recently, but when you're playing against the Timberwolves and Zach LaVine, I think that Devine's defense isn't great, and Beal should be able to get 30-plus minutes. I don't see any reason why he won't unless he gets injured, but he is someone that's in play for me. LaVine is a full $1,000 more expensive than Beal, and he's not producing that sort of value. He's averaging less than 30 across his last five, 27 across his last three. He's not someone that I'm interested in. I would much rather spend $1,000 less and take Brad Beal here. Marcus Thornton went for 29 in the last game. Lots of factors there. Alan Anderson's out, which he'll likely be in this one also. And the game was a blowout, so he got extra run. I don't imagine that happening again, so he's not someone that's on the radar. Garrett Temple is terrible, so I don't think we'll concern ourselves with him either. At small forward, I like Otto Porter here. I think that he is at 5,000. The salary really hasn't risen. He's got a 27 average across his last five. 26 across his last three. It's a positive matchup for small forwards going up against Minnesota. So I think that Porter, to get 25 points, it's not going to be a stretch. Wiggins, 6,900. He's still priced just a little too high for me, but it's not exorbitant. He's got a 35 average across his last three. He's in play, but I don't love him. Not someone I'd be using. Shabazz Muhammad is falling out of favor quickly. Tayshaun Prince, even if he was playing 48 minutes a night, I don't think he'd be able to make up enough value at 3,500. Nemanja Bjelica, Kelly Oubre, Damian Rudej, we don't even know if they ever see the court. Another guy I like in this one, we go to the power forwards, Markieff Morris at 5,100. He's averaging 29 across his last three. Power forwards have been exposing the Timberwolves lately, so Morris is definitely someone who has value here. He's looking more comfortable. The minutes aren't even that high at the moment, but he's still putting up numbers. Love him here. Jared Dudley, Nene, no. Gorgui Dieng at 6,600. I think you really have to consider him. He dropped 42 in the last game in 37 minutes, which is probably the most important thing, as he's has been dealing with a hip problem, which has kept him restricted. I think that to get 35 out of him is definitely not a massive stretch. Despite the Wizards being pretty good defending power forwards, Dieng is an option here. At center, Marcin Gortat and Karl-Anthony Towns. Gortat's at 6,300. He dropped 38 in the last game. He's playing decent minutes finally. Really, like John Wall, pushing this team through to the playoffs. I like him at that price. Towns at 9,000. I think that he is a real solid play at that price as well. Now, Gortat's been pretty good against opposition centers, but Towns is on another level. He's averaging 46 across his last three. I'm pretty confident that he gets at least 40 in this one and should push to 45. So if you want to spend up on centers, Towns is one of the guys who is an option. Charlotte Hornets versus the Detroit Pistons. There is no spread released for this one just yet. I guess we're waiting to see on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Let's look at the point guards. Reggie Jackson's at 6,200. Great matchup. Real positive in the ease ranking column. But he hasn't been doing a massive amount lately. But I think that if there's a game where I'm going to take a punt on Reggie Jackson in a tournament, this would be the one. Kemba Walker, he's still at 8,000. That's no way that I'm spending 8,000 on Kemba. His highest score in his last five has been 39, but he's averaging just 27. And even if he got 39, it doesn't even give you 5x value. Yes, he could go out and have a big game, but he has dropped off somewhat, and 8,000 is way too expensive. No other point guards are worth considering. Shooting guards, Caldwell-Pope will likely be back. He's at 5,700. He's been putting up some pretty decent numbers, averaging 28 across his last five. But at 5,700, that feels like right where he should be. And Courtney Lee's been doing a great job defensively, so not a guy that's in play for me. 4,300 for Jeremy Lin. He's averaging almost 30 across his last three. He's getting extra run, and he's looking good while doing it. 4,300, I think that he is definitely a tournament option. I would put him into lineups. I'll probably be disappointed, but I would try it out. Courtney Lee's at 41. He's averaging 25 points across his last three. He's looking a little bit better offensively. 4,100's not a big salary for him, but he's not someone that appeals to me. Darren Hilliard, who started the last game, will likely go back to 2 or 3 minutes or a complete DNP CD. So despite his 24 in the last game, not going to happen for me. Small forwards. Marcus Morris been putting up some really consistent numbers. He's at 5,500. I think at 5,500, you have to look at him. I think he's a really nice cash game play with not a massive upside, so not much tournament there, but I think that he's, you know, to get 27 points, it's not going to be tough. Nick Batum at 7,700, doing everything he can to really keep this team pumping. 7,700, 35 points. He's averaging 37 across his last five. I reckon I feel real confident about him getting to 35 and having an ability to go to 40+. So I do like him here. Stan Johnson, he's averaging 20 across his last three, and at 4,000, you think that's all right, but probably definitely won't be using him, and no one else there worth looking at. Now, Marv Williams will be back from his ankle injury that caused him to miss the last game. He's at 5,800. Probably don't want to use him at 5,800 against a Detroit team who does limit power forwards. Cody Zeller's at 46. Fouls, again, he's already foul prone, and you play Andre Drummond, that might be a concern for him, so probably don't want to use him. Toby Harris, though, at 6,100. 30 points feels like what Toby's going to get you most nights. He's only averaging 29 across his last five, so he's an okay play, not the best play. Frank Kaminsky went off in the last game with Williams out. He had 27, but that'll likely drop down unless we hear something change in the Williams status and he is out. Then I think we can forget about Kaminsky, and same for Anthony Tolliver. At centre, Andre Drummond at 8,000. He dropped 51 in the last game. He's always worth considering, but he just doesn't quite do enough. I think that you expect high 30s, but do you expect 40+? I think that's a bit of a reach. So to me, he's a tournament option. That's it. Al Jefferson at 5,000 is overpriced, and Aaron Baines, Joel Anthony, and Spencer Hawes are not worth looking at. And why is Joel Anthony pronounced as Joel? Why isn't it Joel? Is that an Australian thing to call him Joel? Why is it an American thing? Do Americans all call that name Joel? I don't think they do they? No, because that guy that, what's his name? Joel McHale. He's not Joel McHale. Interesting. Joel Embiid, Joel Anthony. Nerlens Noel. Interesting. That was just me musing to myself. The next game, the Orlando Magic and the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 9 points. The total is 211 here for this one, so you expect the Heat to get a pretty comfortable victory. At point guard, Goran Dragic was terrible in the last game. He is dealing with a foot problem, so at 6,700 against Lord Alfred Payton, I don't think I'm interested there. Payton's at 5,400. You can put him in a tournament, definitely, but I don't expect a 48-point triple-double from him, especially against a Heat team who does restrict point guards. He would not be someone I'm looking at. Brandon Jennings, forget about, and CJ Watson, not even in the rotation anymore, apparently. And it's Scott Skiles, so everything can go completely ass up in the next game. Shooting guards. Vic Oladipo's at 8,400. It just feels too expensive in a matchup against the Heat as well, who do tend to slow it down a little bit, although they've been much better than that recently. 8,400, you need to feel like he's going to get you 43 points. And do you? He's averaging 43 across his last five, dropped to 37 across the last three, and it just feels like you need him to have a really big night, and that means it rules him out of cash games. Joshy Richardson, 4,400. Sure. Yes, he can have a bad night, but he had 33 in the last game. 4,400 is not exorbitant. He's in a tournament option. And Dwayne Wade at 72. I think Dwayne Wade is an okay cash option to get 35 points. I really don't hate it. I don't love it, but I think that he's a nice cash option. Small forwards, not a lot of love here. Justice Winslow at 42. Nope. Joe Johnson at 54. It's too expensive for Johnson. Mario Hezonja, minimum salary, but you need something to really go awry for him to play. And Evan Fournier at 5,700. Now, Fournier is due for a big game. He's been averaging just 20 across his last five, which is not enough, but he is due for a big one. So he, to me, is the guy that I throw into a tournament and go, let this be a big Fournier game. Let him play 38 minutes. Let him go out there and score 40 points because he can do it. But in a cash game, zero trust. Power forwards, Luol Deng should be back. He's questionable with that thigh bruise. He should be back in this one. I don't want to invest in him even if he does play. Amari Stoudemire's at 3,600. He does have tournament upside, Stoudemire. He's had a 30-point game in the last five in just 15 minutes. That's probably unrealistic, but it shows that he can have a decent ceiling. Aaron Gordon's at 5,900. He had 33 in the last game. That's good. It's getting back there. But to me, he's literally just a tournament punt, and that's it, and hope that Skiles doesn't mess with things. Now, Ersan Ilyasova's out of this one, so that's one name that can replace Gordon that's gone. His boyfriend, Andrew Nicholson, is still there, so there is a bit of a risk there with Gordon, but he's at less than 6,000. He's coming back into consideration. Nick Vucevic, unlikely to play, I would say. Although Skiles did give some positive news, he's more day-to-day now. So I don't think we can think that Vucevic is going to be shut down or he's not going to play again. He might miss another one or two, but I imagine by next week we have Vucevic back in action. Jason Smith is not enticing in his spot. If Deng is out, we saw Josh McRoberts play 30 minutes in his place in the last game. He didn't do much with him, but he can have a decent game. So he would definitely come into play if Deng missed again. At center, not going to play Vucevic even if he happens to play. He's currently listed as questionable. I don't think that's going to be the case. 8,200 for Hassan Whiteside. He's not giving you that sort of value at the moment. I'd rather take someone like we talked Andre Drummond before. I'd rather take him than Whiteside at this point. Whiteside's average over his last five is just 34. It is a nice matchup for him, and going up against Dwayne Dedman and Jason Smith is not a tough situation for him, but he's just not quite getting enough. A big game feels like it has to come. He had a pretty decent game the other day, but just not quite there with him. Toronto and Houston, no spread released for this one yet. Kyle Lowry missed the last game. He should be back. I don't think there's anything we need to be concerned about there. He's at 8,900. Pat Beverley is bloody good, and that is a concern with Lowry. At 8,900, he needs to go for 45. That is a bit of a concern, so I'd probably fade Lowry here. Beverley at 4,800. He can have a big game, but again, Lowry's a good defender, so I'm not sure we're going to be running Beverley. Corey Joseph's trash. Jason Terry, Andrew Gaudeloc, and DeLon Wright are not worth our time. Shooting guards, DeMar DeRozan, this is a great opportunity for him. He's at 8,000, so the salary's dropped $300 because his form hasn't quite been there. He's only averaging 34 across his last five, but the Rockets bump is actually in effect for shooting guards, so he is someone that I look at. But it's hard to go past Jim Harden, who's at 10,800. He dropped 60 in the last game. He's averaging 55 across his last three, 53 across his last five. His lowest score in his last five is 45. 10,800 for Jim. There's a couple of minimum salary guys you can get into lineups. So I think that Jim, you're going to get 50 plus out of him. He is going to play 40 minutes. He is going to do a massive amount of work. And yeah, stinker could come, but I feel pretty confident with Jim at the moment. Terrence Ross, Normie Powell, no. Small forwards, Trev Ariza is at 5,700. Nah, don't like it. Mike Beasley at 45. He's been really down in the last couple of games, averaging just 23 across his last five, which is fine at 4,500, but 10 points in the last one, not quite there. And it's a real tough matchup, not using him. Corey Brewer, James Johnson, KJ McDaniels, no love for any of those guys. Power forward, Patrick Patterson is questionable with his ankle problem. If he misses, Luis Scola at 3,800, he should get minutes in the mid-20s, and he does have an ability to put up 20, 24, 25 fantasy points, and that can be useful. And it's the Rockets. It's a former team of Luis Scola, plus it's the Rockets bump. So he would come into play. If Patterson plays at 3,700, I reckon you'll almost have to consider him because he should get 29 to 30 minutes. He's playing against the trash that is the Houston front court, and he hits a couple of threes. He gets to 30 fantasy points. Bang, your money's there. It's done. Donatas Motiejunas, I love him. Not happening in DFS at this point. Clint Capela, Montrezl Harrell. Jason Thompson is worth it if Patterson is out. He's had 21 in the last game. He's averaging 21 across his last three. He's at 3,700, and that is definitely useful. But it's only if Patterson happens to be out. At center, I imagine that Jonas Valanciunas and Bismack Biyombo swapped their minutes from the last game. They're both at 5,600, and that means both of them have absolutely zero business being on a DFS roster. Dwight at 7,300 just doesn't touch the ball anymore, apparently. Doesn't shoot. So at 7,300, to him to get to 35 points, he's going to need to grab a very, very big amount of rebounds for him to get close to that. So that means I probably will not be using him. The next game, Milwaukee and Atlanta. The Hawks are favored by 8.5 points. The total is 203. Let's look at the point guard situation, and it doesn't look good. Dennis Schroeder dropped 39 in the last game. That's great, but how often are you going to drop 39 in 20 minutes against a team who does restrict point guard opportunities? Not going to happen. Jeff Teague at 6,300. He needs to get to 30. Also not going to happen. Jared Bayless at 43. Not going to happen. And Tyler Ennis is your other option. All in all, point guards, not worth it. Shooting guards. Kyle Korver, 3,600. He had 23 in the last game. I trust him. Nothing at all. Chris Middleton at 7,300. Definitely nowhere near that sort of production of late. He's a guy that you might put in a tournament and hope that things turn around, but it's just not happening. And Timmy Hardaway at 41. For as well as he's playing, it doesn't translate all that well into DFS points. And there is the risk that maybe they go back to Bazemore and play him 22 minutes. It would be wrong, but maybe they play Bazemore 28, 29 minutes and it drops Hardaway down to 18 or 19. Not going to use any of these guys. Small forward, Bazemore, the man in the middle here. Nice comment here from Christopher McKenzie on our YouTube. Says, I'll throw Harden in every day as long as the Rockets are trying to keep in the playoffs. Exactly. I agree with you completely, Christopher. As long as the Rockets are trying to get that playoff spot, Harden's going to play 40 minutes and he's going to do everything. And for this team, he's going to get all the assists, he's going to do all the scoring, he's going to do everything, and he is going to be a DFS play basically for the rest of the season. Back to this game, which is the Bucks and the Hawks. Kent Bazemore is at $4,000. Here's a question for you guys watching live. What is Kent Bazemore's average DFS points over the last three games on FanDuel? I'll let you get back to me. Tweet it at me. Thabo's at 4,200. He's been playing well. He's averaging 23 points across his last five, 25 across his last three. These are good numbers. These are usable numbers, but it's a little bit risky. Giannis, 9,900. Love Giannis. It's too high. I don't love it. Can he go for 50? Sure. But the Hawks defense is pretty bloody good, but I'm not using Giannis at that price. At 9,000, he's definitely more in play. Paulie Millsap is at 7,700. He's playing against the Bucks, which is almost like playing the Bulls if you're a big man. His production has been down, but do you think that Paul Millsap can get 39? I know that I think he can go for 40 plus here. That's definitely his upside, and I like using him here. Johnny Henson, minimum salary, and you know he can have a big game with blocks, but his highest score in his last five has been 18, and he just is not trusted to get big minutes. No thanks. Jabari Parker at 61, his production, like Chris Middleton's, has dropped significantly over the last couple of weeks. He's averaging just 23 points across his last five. The Hawks' defense is not something I want to mess with. The Hawks' defense is not something I want to mess with at this point, so he is not a guy to go with. Centers, Al Horford at 7,100, looking for a bounce back where he had 18 in his last game. I think that Horford is a great option at 7,100. I think that he returns 35 points almost without even trying. Greg Monroe at 6,100, absolutely no chance. And Miles Plumlee at 3,500, not with John Henson now back in the mix. The next game is if you are going to watch the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow, I commend you, because the Grizzlies have no one, and the Spurs have gone, you know what? You've got no one. We're going to rest four guys, and there is zero chance. No, that's not true. There is a 1% chance that Duncan, Parker, Aldridge play usual minutes. They're not playing. The Spurs are not playing these guys. They are resting. Danny Green, Patty Mills, and Boris Diaw. Kawhi Leonard is also out. The Grizzlies have Zach Randolph, who's questionable with an ankle problem now. So you look at that and you go, okay, Kawhi's out, Green's out, Mills is out, Diaw's out. Oh, maybe that means Parker's going to play big minutes and Duncan's going to play big minutes and we're going to see Aldridge play 35 minutes. They're not. The Spurs have a back-to-back. They play the Thunder on Saturday. They will not play, unless the game gets tight, which seriously it shouldn't. Duncan, Ginobili, Aldridge, they're not playing big minutes. Parker, they're not playing 30 minutes. I fail to see how that happens. Unless somehow the Grizzlies keep this close, they're not playing minutes. This is such a pain in the ass game to look at and to deal with for DFS. There are going to be punt options aplenty. Tony Parker at 52. Hey, if you think that Parker's playing 30 minutes at 5,200, you're going to have to look at him. But I really don't. Ray McCallum revenge game? Probably not, because Jordan Farmer has got over him. But Farmer is not listed on FanDuel yet. If he was, I would be all over him. I think that he'd be minimum salary, and I'd be definitely looking at him. Andre Miller. The last time that he was forced into minutes, where he played 25 minutes, he dropped 24 fantasy points. We've got him projected at 25 minutes at the moment with Mills out and with me predicting that Parker won't play 30 minutes. Miller could get you 24 at a minimum salary. Makes him interesting. He gets 20 points at minimum salary. He's interesting. It's clearly just a tournament play that no one's going to own, but Andre Miller. Shooting guards. Manu. No Kawhi, no Danny Green. Could Manu do something? Well, I don't think they're going to play him minutes, but he's at minimum salary. And at minimum salary, if he gets 20 points, it's worth it. He is an option. Kevin Martin is a guy here now. He's at minimum salary. He is going to have to play more minutes with Green and Leonard out. He is not someone they're going to try and conserve. I think that you could see a big game from Kevin Martin, so he is definitely someone who is on my radar. Tone Allen at 4,900. Any chance you reckon he goes 12 for 12 against the Spurs? I'm going to guess no. So I don't think we're going to be using Tone Allen. No, that's not true. I don't think we're going to be relying on Tone Allen to do that again. But he's averaging 26 across his last five, 29 across his last three. He is in play. And without Danny Green there, without Kawhi there, those two wing defenders are not there. So maybe Allen does have the ability to go free range here. Lance Stevenson's minutes and production have plummeted. He's at 6,600. I'm not going to be using him. Small forwards. Here is where we get interesting. Kyle Anderson is at 3,500. He will play big minutes with Kawhi out. He is a very, very intriguing guy. He's at minimum salary. Does he get 20 points? I think that he gets 20 points. I think that he can go for 25. I think that he can go for 30 points, in fact. Kyle Anderson at 3,500 is very interesting to me. Matty Barnes at 6,300. It would be a terrible matchup, but no Kawhi, no Green, as I mentioned before. Barnes at 6,300, it just feels too high. So, no. Vince Carter, no. And that's it. Power forwards. LaMarcus Aldridge, again, I just don't see him playing 30 minutes or enough minutes at 7,600 to be worth it. What I do see is David West with no Boris Diaw and with Duncan and Aldridge likely limited. He should get to 30 minutes. He's at 3,500. He's a minimum salary player. Does David West get to 20? I would be very, very confident in David West getting to 20. He is definitely in play. He's not, yeah, when you see my DFS picks of the day later, he's not my best cheap power forward option because there is a risk that maybe the game stays close and maybe Duncan and Aldridge have to stay in. So there's a bit of a risk there. But in a tournament, David West, love it. Zach Randolph at 7,500. Pretty expensive for Zebo. He's dealing with that sore ankle. Just don't like it against the Spurs. I'm not going to be using him. If Zebo is out, Jermichael Green, he's still at 5,700, but he becomes interesting because he's going to have to play a lot of minutes. And we've created a what-if scenario. If Zebo is out, you'll see that Green's minutes rise significantly. So he would be someone to look at there. That's it, I think, for that position. At center, Timmy Duncan. He's at 4,900. He could easily get you 25 points here. It's a decent matchup for him. But again, I don't trust the minutes. What I do like is Boban Marjanovic. He's at minimum salary. He dropped 26 in the last game in 14 minutes. This could be a case of seeing West and Marjanovic playing big minutes at power forward and center. It could be the case. So Marjanovic in a tournament at 3,500, he gets 20 plus. You're laughing. You got him, you got Anderson, you got West. You got Ginobili, all minimum salary options for the Spurs who could all carry your lineup. Now, you probably don't want to play all of them, but putting one or two in sporadically into your lineup and fill it up with guys like James Harden and another guy we're going to talk about later, DeMarcus Cousins, at that 11,000 price range, you should do yourself a pretty good service, I would think. DeMarcus Anthony, who's watching this one live, which he tweeted in a question. I don't know if I'm going to answer on this one, though. Out of all the guards and small forwards in the draft last year, which ones or ones have the most potential, and do you see any all-stars? DeMarcus, it's a good question. I won't cover it now because I really need to get into it in a little bit more detail, but that's something we'll definitely be looking at in the off-season. So hold that question for then, and we'll get back into it then. Phoenix and Sacramento. There is no spread for this one, but what it should be is it should be sending off massive, massive DFS, red lights, red spot specials, spotlights, glitter bombs, anything. It should be saying to you, this is it. This is the game we want to look at. These teams are putrid. They're playing each other. They allow shitloads of fantasy points. There is a lot to like here. Let's start with the point guards, where you could potentially roster three of these guys, even though you've only got two spots. Rajon Rondo, I have not recommended rostering him very often, but at 7,800 against the Suns, do I think Rondo can get to 36 points, 37 points? Absolutely. He dropped 53 in the last game. He should easily surpass 35 points here. Darren Collison at 5,500. What a matchup for him. Either he's a point guard, he's a shooting guard. It doesn't matter. The Suns are terrible. 5,500. Darren Collison get 30 points? Sure. Why not? It's not a tough one. Brandon Knight, 7,200. He's going to play the Kings. How easy is that? 7,200. Does he get 35 points? He's averaging 40 across his last three. He's averaging 34 across his last five. Absolutely. All three of those guys are in play. Shooting guards. Does it get much better as a shooting guard playing against the Kings? Devin Booker's about to find out. He's at 6,500. He's averaging 35 across his last three. He's in a massive hot streak, and the Kings aren't likely going to be a team that shuts him down. He is in play. Now, Ben McLemore has been upgraded from doubtful to questionable. Doesn't mean we're going to use him. Marco Bellinelli, no trust. James Anderson, who's been starting, does nothing. Seth Curry, Archie Goodwin, John Jenkins, a whole bunch of crap there. But Booker, very interesting. Small forwards. PJ Tucker is playing really well. He's averaging 30 points across his last five. He's at 4,800. Hard to ignore him. He's playing a lot of minutes as well. And with Tyson Chandler out, he's going to continue to play big minutes. Rudy Gay's at 6,400. Now, he's been putrid. He's been terrible, averaging just 22 across his last five. No one will own Rudy Gay. In a tournament, in not your probably main tournament lineup, but at 6,400, this has Rudy Gay explosion written all over it to me. I'd place zero trust in it, but it has to come. And when it's going to come, it's going to come big. And I think that that's going to be here. Omri Caspi, no. Chase Buttinger, also no. Power forwards. This is where we get some value happening. Johnny Lua at 4,600. He dropped 39 in the last game with Tyson Chandler out. Chandler is out again. Earl Watson has almost zero options at power forward, and he doesn't like Lua, but he's played two games now with Chandler out, and he's been massive in both of them. At 4,600, you can almost not afford to use him. You have to be able to use him at 4,600. He could easily return you 7, 8x value. Easily. Love this opportunity for him. Willie Cauley-Stein, it'd be awesome for him if he played. But we don't know what Carl's going to do there. 4,300 for Mirza Teletovic. He is a tournament option because he could go off. And Alex Len at 64. You would hope that Len would get big minutes, but it didn't happen in the last game. He's at 6,400, so he's an expensive risk. Let's hope we see Duye Dukan get in so we can cut down those list of guys who haven't played a minute to down to one. At center, DeMarcus Cousins cost $11,000. Fine, don't care. $11,000, put him in, put Harden in at $10,800, fill up the other spots with Kyle Anderson's, with John Lewis, with these cheap options. Boogie feels he should get 50. He should absolutely tear this team. Not even one new asshole, but about three. That's how destructive he should be. If he doesn't get 50 points, I will be flabbergasted. Boogie is in for a massive night. He's been upgraded to probable after missing the last game. He is ready to go. Lock it in. If he's out, Kosta Kufos at 3,800 dropped 35 in the last game. He could even go bigger than that again. So there's tremendous value in these Kings centers. If you thought that was the only value game on the slate, let's get ready for the next one, which is the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Both of these teams are horrible, and both of them, well, the Nuggets aren't quite as horrible as the Lakers. I mean horrible in terms of yielding fantasy points. DJ Augustine is at 4,600. The Lakers are terrible. Augustine is a little bit more risky, but he's a tournament option. Emmanuel Mudiay at 6,000 dropped 47 against the Sixers. Lakers aren't much better. Do you think he goes for 47 again? I don't, but I don't hate using him at 6,000. I think he's a mighty fine option at that price. D'Angelo Russell at 6,200. Yeah, probably not. Although Kobe is questionable. would say it's a home game. I'd say Kobe is not playing in this one. He's played pretty decent minutes in the two games in back-to-backs. I think that Kobe misses this one, and that puts Russell's value right up there. Marcelo Huertas at 3,700 with no Kobe. He's a 25-point option, so he is in play in a tournament as well. There is lots of low-percentage guys, low-percentage ownership guys who I reckon can really help fill out a roster here. Shooting guards. Jordy Clarkson's at 5,500, hasn't been producing anywhere near that, but the Nuggets are a pretty good remedy for that. So Clarkson is in play, but without too much excitement. Will Barton, 5,100. Bill, I'm not really sure that I... I am sure. I don't put any trust in Bill whatsoever to do that. But at 5,100, you almost have to consider it. I probably won't use him, but I consider it. Kobe at 57, no. Gaz Harris at 53. He's been good, Gaz Harris, and it's a great opportunity for him, but I'm definitely not going to be using him in this one. And Lou Williams at 51. Nah, not trusting him to get the minutes. Let's see where we are. The next one, the small forwards. Well, there's not a lot here. Do you like Jakar Sampson, Meta World Peace, or Mike Miller? Or Axel Toupin, who's actually been signed to an end a two-year contract with a second-year non-guaranteed, so that's good for him. I like Toupin. Don't like him enough to use him here, but there is really, really crap at the small forward position in this game. Let's look at the power forwards. Julius Randle is at 6,300. He's been really playing well, averaging 31 across the last three. But you know what? 31 points at 6,300 isn't enough. And it is a good opportunity for him against the Nuggets, but I don't love it. If Ken Faried is out, Darrell Arthur at 3,800. He's averaging 24 across his last three. He is in play. Absolutely in play. Larry Nance at 35. No thanks. Brandon Bass at 42. I like the way Bass is playing, but I don't think that he's really translating into DFS all that well. Centers. Nikola Jokic is at 6,200. Jokic is averaging 32 across his last three, but that's sort of where he is, and he's too risky to use in cash. And to me, the tournament upside at 6,200 is probably not high enough. Yusuf Nurkic at 4,100. He's averaging 22 across his last three. As long as Jokic is there, I don't see Nurkic getting enough minutes to really be worth using here, but he's an option. The last game of the night, Dallas versus the Golden State Warriors. The Warriors are favored by 14. The total is 224 points in this one, so it's a pretty big total. The Mavericks kept it close the last time out in Dallas. Let's look at the point guard. Steph is at 10,600. Absolutely fine to use Steph. I think that you can get 50 points out of him here. Fine. JJ Barea is at 3,800. He is going to play minutes in the mid-20s. He's averaging 22 already across the last three, dropped 25 in the last game, and you get 25 points out of 3,800, you are laughing. That is over 6x value, and he is another cheap option you can put in to allow yourself to get Steph, to get Harden, to get Cousins into a lineup. Ray Felton was putrid. He's at 3,900, but I don't put as much trust in him as I do in, say, Barea, although Felton should get more than the 20 minutes he had in the last one. Darren Williams at 61. Williams is playing bloody well. He's averaging 31 across his last five, including a 60-point outing against the Blazers. Not sure I really get all that behind him going for more than 30 here in this one, though, against the Warriors. At shooting guard, love a couple of these guys here. Love Klay Thompson at 7,000. Really think that 35 points shouldn't be too much of a concern against this Mavericks team, so he is an option. Wes Matthews, don't necessarily love him, but he's looked better. He dropped 36 in the last game. He's averaging 24 across his last three. He's only costing you 4,100. He is a great tournament option, I think. But we know he's been shit in a lot of games, so there's a risk there. Devin Harris, Leandro Barbosa, Brandon Rush, and Ian Clark. They're not worth our time. Small forward, Harry Barnes, 4,300. He's getting down to that salary where you might even consider him, but I still probably won't. Justin Anderson is averaging a stellar 2.3 points across his last three games. He's not going to be worth our look anyway. Power forwards. Maurice Spates at 3,900. Probably not. Draymond at 82. To me, he's a nice tournament play. That's it. Dirk at 8,000. Dirk is averaging 47 across his last three games, 43 across his last five. This is probably not as easy a matchup, but Dirk's going to be doing everything in his power to keep the Mavericks close. I can get behind using Dirk here, not with much confidence, but I can understand. I just probably wouldn't do it myself. At center, Salah Mejri is now at 4,700, but that is not enough to completely dissuade me from using him. Now, he had 30 in the last game. Andrew Bogut's a little bit of a different story than Mason Plumlee, though. We know how good Bogut is. Bogut and Mejri are both at 4,700. I would take Measury over Bogut, but I don't think that Measury is a must play sort of guy. But he's definitely, look, if he was at 3,800, I'd be smashing him in every lineup. But at 4,700, his salary's been risen significantly. He'll likely start, but there's a risk that they go with some sort of small unit to combat what the Warriors do in a small lineup, and that really limits Measury's minutes. So to me, he is a very, very risky play. Let's look now at the DFS picks of the day. At point guard, JJ Barea, 38. Darren Collison, 5,500. And Rajon Rondo at 78. At shooting guard, Wes Matthews at 41, bearing in mind the risks. Brad Beal, 53. And Jim Harden, 10,800. At small forward, Kyle Anderson, 35. Otto Porter, 5,000. And Nick Batum, 77. At power forward, Johnny Lua, 46. Markieff Morris, 51. And Paulie Millsap, 77. And the centers, Boban Marjanovic, obviously a tournament play at 3,500. Marcin Gortat, 63. And DeMarcus Cousins at 11,000. We are done today, guys. No one tweeted in guessing what Kent Bazemore's output had been the last three games. It's 7.47 points. Putrid. He's bad. Follow me on Twitter at redrock_bball. Follow Basketball Monster at BaskMonster. And check out the Basketball Monster site if you haven't already. I'm assuming most of you guys have. It is fantastic. Check out Moneyball if you live in Australia or New Zealand for the best DFS contests this side of the equator. Of course, you can follow me in all the different areas. Subscribe to this podcast on YouTube and on iTunes. And if you are on iTunes, leave a review. It helps the podcast grow and helps attract sponsors. And we've got another sponsor who's potentially coming up pretty soon as well. So that's all thanks to the support that you guys have shown this show. And I am very, very grateful for it. Already had people inquiring about the listener leagues for next season, not taking any applications for listener leagues just yet. You will have to listen and stay tuned to the social media accounts and to the podcast throughout the off season. But just know at this point, there will be 27 listener leagues planned, different types, different ways of getting into all of them, but there will be a lot of leagues. And I still imagine we will have plenty of people looking for spots. So there will be openings. And there'll be some interesting things we're going to be trying in those leagues. But wait till the off-season to hear the information. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.